in a way, we've been preparing for this for the last 3 years. I've been here at ISU for 3 years, and we've been planning out various disaster scenarios, natural disasters and other such situations that in our mind led to a situation where we would go online. Certain scenarios around, say, tornadoes. However, this is a big shift. The way I broke it down was I looked at it from the back end systems, you know, the systems that the students use all the time, email, the learning management system, we call it Reginet, various other systems that they need to register for classes and so forth. So for my teams looking at that and making sure that we can handle the capacity. Most of the systems that we have, in fact, just about all the systems that we have are in the cloud. And so that makes it easier.
Why?
Because for one main reason, I mean, if we needed to expand the capacity real quick, and if they were sitting in my data center over here, I'd have to look for servers to increase the capacity. But since they're out in the cloud and most of them are sitting on Amazon Web Services, Amazon has the ability to put in servers very quickly. So we give them, say, 24 hours notice, and they will bump up our capacity.
Did you have to do that?
Yes. For Reginet, we decided that we needed to be preemptive and bump it up to, you know, double the capacity that we have right now.
What is double? What does that mean?
So right now, we're aiming for around 15,000 students to hit the systems all at the same time. And if we can't handle that, we will bump it up to 22,000 or 23,000 students.
And what had you been at?
Around 7,000.
And how often did you hit that 7,000 before?
We never hit the 7,000.
What was the average?
I couldn't tell you, but I would say it's around 3,000 is what my approximate would be.
Okay.
So these are 3,000 students that hit the system at exactly the same time.
How do you assess bandwidth or capacity or load and performance? How do you say, okay, this is not working, or yeah, this is good, but we might want a little more?
What we don't want to do is assess that while we have problems. So we're trying to think forward and try to figure out how many students could get in. So this is where we're in unknown territory. We don't know how many students are going to hit it all at the same time, right? So we project that through usage, and then we look at the number of students we have. So we have around 21,000 students, and we say about 2/3 of those could hit it all at the same time, right? So that's one way of assessing it. Another way of assessing it is during our peak usage in the past. So this past fall, one of the biggest usage periods is grade release. That's when all 21,000 students try to hit the systems all at the same time, trying to get their grades. This happens around December. So we watched that number, and we sized bandwidth and so forth based on that number. Now, each system is different, of course. Checking it for grades is a one-time hit. Reginet would be a more prolonged hit. So we look at those factors as well.
Is there capacity nationwide for this? Because many universities are doing this. And with people huddled at home, they're going to be streaming, they're going to be using the internet more, they're going to be doing lots of things online. Do we have the backbone for this?
That's a question. That's a good question. So one of the first things we did is we reached out to our providers, like Zoom, for example, the video service. And we asked them, we said, look, we know everyone's going to jump on this on Zoom all at the same time. And the answer we got was they've been planning for this for a while, and they would be able to handle the load. Well, you know, we have to go by what they say, right? The other thing that you brought up is what happens at home. So we have 21,000 students, and you know, maybe, you know, a number of them will be on campus or around campus, but there's going to be a lot at home too, right? And so what happens in the neighborhood will affect their bandwidth. We don't know how bad it's going to be. There's people guessing, because, you know, if students, high school students or K-12 students at home as well, they may be streaming. So it's possible that home internet connection will be disruptive. Honestly, I'll be able to tell you more next Wednesday, after we've gone through a couple of days of this.
Do you have a sense of how robust the faculty are going to be in pushing the system. It's one thing to have a video class. It's another thing to have lots of streaming videos assigned. Do you know what the ecosystem is going to be like?
No, I don't. What I do know is that I got the chance to talk to the deans and chairs and a number of faculty as well. And I know everyone's wanting to do the best thing for the students that they can. So some of it will be, and I heard about this one possibility where a chemistry lab would be streamed online for first-year students. I heard about voice-over PowerPoint that's going to be done. I heard about synchronous teaching, so live teaching. So I think everyone's trying their best to make the experience as good for their students as they can. They're going to push it to the limit, their knowledge to the limit. Maybe not the technology to the limit, because there's only so much you can learn about the technology in 2 or 3 days, right? But I think they're going to do their best.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Charlie Edamalo, the Chief Technology Officer for Illinois State University, about the large task of getting ready to move everything online for what may be the rest of the semester, but it will at least be a few weeks. Not every faculty member is created equal in technological savvy. How are you addressing the challenges of faculty who may have a steeper learning curve than others?
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge. I mean, I think supporting them is going to be one of our challenges next week. As we look forward to next week, I think a lot of our phone calls will be around people who are trying to figure out Zoom or trying to figure out ReggieNet for the very first time. What we have is a tiered system. My help desk will be receiving calls, but then the local IT staff will play a big part in this. We're also looking to peer faculty who will help out as well. So it's going to be we're going to have to approach it in different ways. So far, everyone seems to be willing to try out what is basically a big adventure to try and figure this out.
How do you think humans will interact with technology? I've heard some faculty saying that, you know, kids tend to zone out after 5 minutes of this kind of a video screen presentation, so we're going to have to mix it up and not do it quite that way. Are there things that you are trying to tell faculty about how to be effective with this?
So that's a job for a group of people that don't report up to me. It's instructional designers, people who understand technology and how to make it compelling. Now, to be honest, I don't think we have enough instructional designers to come in and do all this work for all the faculty. So they're going to have to learn this as they go along. I'm also a doctoral student right now, and I have a couple of 6-hour classes once a month. And I'm dreading sitting through a Zoom session for 6 hours. We're going to have to work through that. It's something that I think everyone's just going to have to learn.
Are there other points in history where technology systems have been stressed that might provide an example for what is coming in next week and the week after as ISU begins to teach again online?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking that this is unprecedented. 10 years ago, if we had the same situation, say with the H1N1 situation, there was no choice. I mean, people didn't have the ability to go online. Zoom didn't exist, for example, right? When you go back to the Katrina disaster in New Orleans, there was no choice. So this is unprecedented. If a university of our size and our reputation is not able to go online in some form, shame on us, right? So that's unfortunately the situation we're in right now. So it is unprecedented. I can't think of any. I've been through major upgrades. I've been through Y2K. Y2K was a big, heavy lift, but not to this level where we expect students to join in from home. In my mind, it's unprecedented. I can't think of anything.
Sometimes great challenges provide an opportunity for a paradigm shift, or things change radically after a big event like this. Do you think that having once gone through this, that online learning will be different going forward permanently?
I hesitate to answer confidently around this, but this is what I'm hoping to see. I'm hoping to see that faculty see some online tools as more favorably after this. Maybe they hesitated using it before, and now that they're forced to use it, they see that there's something that they can add to their regular teaching, right? So that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that it'll help them in their day-to-day, face-to-face kind of teaching. Now, there's a possibility also that they will be able to flip one or two classes online, say in the case of, and I'm making this up, but in the case of a snowstorm, right? So instead of canceling class completely, they flip to an online mode or once in a while. I hear this is happening in a certain K-12 districts. So it could happen here as well. But I hesitate to do that because teaching is very complex, especially teaching at a university. And so I would say that this sharp learning curve that they're going through right now is not optimal. This is not the way to go online, right? And if they do pick up on one or two things, I'd be excited about it.
Many people are encountering costs from the present disruption. What are the costs in dollars and in time, or however you would care to frame it, in how you are adapting?
So we had to, I can't give you numbers right off the bat, but we had to increase our Zoom licensing, for example. We had to increase the capacity of ReggieNet. So those would be in the tens of thousands of dollars. Fortunately, like I said, my team's been ready for this and they've been prepping for this. So the cost, personnel-wise, hasn't been, it's been negligible. We haven't had to pay for anything. We just switched mods and started monitoring and started doing things different. So yeah, so from that point of view, it hasn't been exorbitant.
Even before classes resume, are you seeing an uptick in traffic on the university system?
No, we're seeing an uptick in calls, of course. You know, people trying to figure out how to use various tools online and from home. I think right now it's wait and see. It really feels like the calm before a storm right now. We've got our systems ready. Our people are waiting for calls. They're figuring out monitoring tools, and we're just waiting.
What are your peer institutions telling you?
Peer institutions, I just sent out an email last night and I said, hey, if you've already gone into online mod, what is it that I can expect? And they said a lot of phone calls from people who haven't really used these kind of technologies. You know, some very minor, I don't know how to get the audio on. Can you show me how to do that? To something worse, which is, yeah, my internet at home isn't working and I don't know what's happening, right? So expect a lot of phone calls.
Charlie Adamala is the Chief Technology Officer for Illinois State University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.